Life is a series of decisions, and the choices we make determine the life we will live. Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell challenges us about life's greatest decisions.
Let me encourage you to be the kind of a man whose direction is not questioned but is known, that you're not ashamed of Jesus Christ, that you are on the Lord's side, and that when it comes to decisions of your entertainment or your family direction or friendships, that you will make those decisions based upon the fact, will it be known by this decision that I am on the Lord's side?
The road to spiritual maturity is paved with life-changing decisions. In our series, Life's Greatest Decisions, we will discover practical ways to apply God's principles to our everyday lives. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Life is made up of more decisions than we can count, but God desires to give us the wisdom we need to make the right choices. Through today's scriptures, we will be equipped to make choices that bring honor to God and peace to our hearts. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part one of a message called Deciding to Walk with God.
An unexpected attack came upon our land. Oh, for some years and over the course of perhaps two or three different administrations, there had been chatter about people in our land who wanted to bring terror and chatter about problems that could arise, but who'd have ever thought that literally airplanes would crash into some of our greatest buildings, including the Pentagon? Who'd have ever thought that such devastation would come so unexpectedly upon our land? We've often wondered, the question has often been asked, what if we would have known ahead of time? What if we would have been warned about the exact way the attack would come? How would we have responded differently? Well, I want to bring a message to you this morning from a moment in world history where the greatest devastation in the world's history was about to take place. The greatest devastation the world would ever known. In fact, the entire world was going to be destroyed. And amazingly, God told exactly when and exactly how the devastation would come. In fact, He gave to a man named Noah the commission to go around the world, the known world of his day, proclaiming the fact that devastation was going to come. Now, with all of the proclamation and with all of the forewarning, what would the difference be? And for those of you who've read your Bibles, you know the difference was very little. You know, in fact, the only converts that Noah ever was able to see come to his church, if you will, the only converts that ever believed what he was saying and believed God's word and came into the ark were the members of his very own family. By some judges of the hour, he would have been a failure in ministry. What a small little church he pastored. By some judges of the hour, it would seem that his ministry was an utter failure, and yet he did what God had called him to do, and thus he had been faithful to the Lord. He was ministering in a very wicked day. He was ministering in a day where the population was exploding because of the antediluvian prior to the flood age in which he ministered. There was a firmament around the earth. Men and women were living much longer lives. There was, by some estimation, a population explosion taking place. Some scholars say that perhaps as many as 1 billion people lived on the earth. But however many they were a wicked people indeed. It was a wicked, sinful day in which Noah preached the message of God. In fact, this morning as we look at Noah's decision to walk with God, I want you to get the context of this decision. I want you to see how big this decision was by learning with me this morning, in the first place, the devastation of sin in the world. The devastation that sin was bringing to the world. Notice, if you would, in our text this morning, in verse number 5, what it says specifically. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Now look at that last phrase of verse 5, if you would. It says, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. When we look at the devastation upon this earth, at the time before Noah's flood, at the time before the flood, I want you to notice, first of all, the corruption of the heart. God says, when I look down at my creation, I see a corrupted heart. I see as I look down that every imagination of the thoughts of their hearts was only evil continually. He speaks of the imaginations of the heart. He says that their imaginations were only evil continually. You study the word imaginations and look it up in a Bible dictionary and study the Hebrew root meaning of this word, and it speaks about the fashioning of pottery. And the teaching of the verse, the implication is this, that wickedness in Noah's day had become fashionable. It had become in to be wicked. And the more wicked you were, the more in you were, because everyone was only thinking about wickedness continually. Now, I don't know about you, but I believe that the creator of the world has the right to judge the world. You say, I don't think anybody should judge me and tell me about, it's none of their business how I live. Well, we could pass that on everyone in this room, but you can't pass that to God, because God made you. God created the world. God has every right to look at his creation and say, this world, these people are wicked, and every one of their thoughts is only evil continually. The Bible says in Psalm 14 and verse 1, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. And the depravity in Noah's day was so widespread. It was so inward. It was so continual. It was so habitual that God looked down, and the Bible says, he says, it repents me that I have ever made this creation called mankind. What a tragic day in world history. The imaginations of the heart were wicked. I think today of how we see a continual wickedness pervasively so within our society. It just seems like you don't just get one tattoo. You've got to ruin your whole body. You don't just pierce it here and there. It's everywhere. You don't just sleep with one or two. You sleep with as many as you can. It's not just a little bit. It's becoming a pervasiveness within the society in which we live. Now, I believe God would look down on a city like Hollywood and say, you know, it just seems like every imagination of their thought is only evil continually. Do they ever have a moral thought? Do they ever have a decent thought? Do they ever think about a family where they love one another, where they go to church, where they do anything normal? Or is every thought of this society only evil continually? This was God's concern. The imagination of the heart, he says, it has led to an imagination that is of an evil heart. Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 4:14, O Jerusalem, wash thine heart from wickedness, that thou mayest be saved. How long shall thy vain thoughts lodge within thee? He says, Jerusalem, wash your heart. Cleanse your heart. And by the way, thank God, Christians, that we're forgiven when we accept Jesus as Savior. But we still, after salvation, need the washing of the Word over our hearts. We can sit here all day long and talk about the wickedness in Hollywood. But you know, the fact is, there's wickedness in every Baptist church this morning. We need to say, God, cleanse my heart today. The corruption of the heart was a terrible problem in Noah's day. And it led, of course, to the corruption of their lives. Notice in verse 5 what it says, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. You see, out of the abundance of the heart, we say what we say. So I don't know why I said that about him, because it was in your heart. I don't know why I said that wicked thing, because it was in the heart. And he says in verse 5 that God saw the wickedness of man, that it was great in the earth. And I believe today, friends, that when God looks at our country, I believe that this country that has been so blessed, this country that has been victorious in battle, this country that has the largest gross national product of any nation in the world, this country that has such a high standard of living, and yet I believe God looks down and he says, I have blessed you, America. You have prayed for my blessing. But now it seems like every single TV channel, every single show, every single thing that's discussed at the water fountain at work, it just seems like everywhere in this land there's wickedness abounding. Homosexuality is abounding today. Moral wickedness. The Bible says in Leviticus 20:13, if a man also shall lie with mankind as he lies with womankind, both of them have committed an abomination. Listen, this matter of homosexuality has come from 20 years ago in the closet till now it's mainstream. Politicians are afraid to say anything about it. Preachers are afraid to say anything about it. And just 50 years ago, it was against the law on many of the books of the land in the states in which we live. These were things that were even against the law of the land. Why? Because our laws in this land at one time came from the law of the Word of God I'm holding in my hand. Romans 1:24. You can read the Bible. We're here to learn from the Bible this morning. Romans 1:24. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of the error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Here we see that they didn't want God in their knowledge. They didn't want to hear about God. And you listen to me. When a man takes an atheistic viewpoint in life, when a woman begins to deny the existence of God, there is no end to the kind of wicked life they will live. And that was what was going on in Noah's day. Every thought was only wicked continually. We see it today. We see it in the sin of abortion. One out of every three babies conceived in America today is deliberately aborted. One out of three. 1.6 million abortions are reported in America every single year. Since 1973, more than 40 million preborn children have had their lives snuffed out, and now we have liberal politicians who advocate partial birth abortion, where you take a child partially from the womb and then kill the baby for so-called scientific reasons. And I'm telling you, friend, that in a nation where we kill our unborn, we have serious problems today. We have a conscience that has been seared today. And the fact of the matter is, there is only evil continually abounding in our land right now as we live in this land today. Abortion, pornography. It is an $8 billion a year business with close ties to organized crime. Dozens of times we've had to counsel with a family where daddy was in the family room and 2 o'clock in the morning and little Johnny went to get a glass of milk and daddy's looking on the internet and he's looking at wicked things and the little boy's shocked and he's nervous and he tells mom and mom wants to leave dad and here they come to the church. Why? Because every thought, and I've had men say, I just think about it. And by the way, it is an addiction, pornography is. It's just on some men, just every day on them. Abortion, pornography, drugs. The average first use of alcohol in America is at age 12. Age 12. 96% of all teens before they graduate from high school are experimenting with alcohol. 6% drink alcohol every single day. I'm just simply saying there was a moral wickedness in Noah's day. There is a moral wickedness in this day in which we live. It is a cultural kind of wickedness. The Bible says in verse 13, and God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. I don't have time to give you the statistics of domestic violence. I don't have time to tell you how many wives are battered by their husbands every year and how many children are battered by their parents every year. But I'm simply trying to help you understand that we're getting closer and closer to the kind of society Noah's day was all about. The universal prevalence of lust and violence at that time in Noah's day was encouraged perhaps by the longevity of life. Perhaps by some of the marital relations with unbelievers and so forth. But whatever the root cause, it was such a problem that God said, I wish I would have never created these people. The devastation of sin was that real. Now, in the midst of that, I want you to notice, secondly, with me this morning, the decisions of Noah. You say, well, Pastor, this is a pretty serious message this morning, and you're kind of preaching against some things, And I really think you have to understand how bad it was in Noah's day before you can appreciate the fact that Noah decided to do right. And one of the encouragements I want you to get from the message this morning is this, that if Noah could walk with God in the middle of that society, then there's hope for us to walk with God today. And before we look at his decisions, I want you to recognize with me this morning that Noah's greatest decision, The greatest decision in Noah's life was not his decision to build the ark, although that wasn't a bad decision in light of a coming flood. But his greatest decision was to decide to walk with God. Noah walked with God. I want you to see what the Bible says in verse number 9. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. Let's say that together. And Noah walked with God. Now then, how does a man in the middle of a wicked and perverse society, how does a man or a woman in this society make right decisions? I want to give you three ways that Noah made right decisions. First of all, he made relational decisions. He made relational decisions, and so do we. What do we mean by this? We tell our children that they need to have good friends. We tell them nearness is likeness because we know that their environment many times has something to do with the decisions they make. Now then, Noah had a right relationship with God. And so his relationship with God impacted every decision that he made. His decisions were relational decisions. In walking with God, he displayed a humble spirit. He displayed a teachable spirit. He displayed a moldable spirit. And Noah did not find fulfillment merely in the quantity of the works that he accomplished. Noah found fulfillment in the quality of the life that he lived with God. Noah's greatest accomplishment was not building the ark, and your greatest accomplishment will not be building a business or a Sunday school class or a bus route. Your greatest fulfillment in life will come from walking with God. Many times folks will reach the pinnacle of their career or some great accomplishment will be done, but they're not satisfied. Why? Because they're not walking intimately with God. Jesus says in John 15 and verse 3, "Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself." Jesus says, I want you to abide with me. I want you to walk with me. I want you to read my word. I want to challenge you men this week to walk with God. I'm talking about put a New Testament Bible in your lunch pail. You say, well, I don't carry a lunch pail. That's for little children that do that. Well, take it to Denny's and open it up like a big man. I'm talking about bowing your head and praying at lunch and thanking God for your food in front of your peers. I'm talking about when the guys say, hey, let's go get a cold one after work. Why don't you say, hey, let's go to McDonald's and get a cold Diet Coke. And let me tell you what God's done in my life lately. Here was a man who walked with God so well and so closely that all of his decisions reflected that relationship. Secondly, he made spiritual decisions. Noah made spiritual decisions. And I say this because his decisions were based upon the word of God. You'll notice what the Bible says in verse 22 of chapter 6. Just a simple verse, but it illustrates his faith in God's word. It says, "Thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him, so did he." You know, pastors can try all day and teachers as well to help the Bible to make sense to you. But there are some things in the Bible that will not make sense. We just simply say, God said it, that settles it. Right. How do you make sense out of a flood, listen, when you've never seen a raindrop? How's God going to explain that to Noah? And why does he have to explain everything? He is God. Noah had never seen an ark. He'd never seen a water skier. He had never seen a jet ski. He didn't understand about this flood. He just realized that if God said something was coming and the way to escape it was an ark, that's all he had to be told. You see, the word of God was his light. Psalm 119:42, "So shall I have here wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me, for I trust in thy word." Then I want you to notice, thirdly, he made reachable decisions. His decisions were reachable. It was possible because the word of God is reliable. You see, Hebrews 11:7 says something that helps us to understand the reliability of God's word. It says, "By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith." So here it is. Noah heard the word of God, and by faith he believed the word of God. And that, my friend, is the basis for a spiritual decision. When we hear God's word and obey God's word and we act upon it, we are now learning how to make spiritual decisions. It's not that we asked 17 opinions. It's not that we did what felt good to us. It's not that we rationalized. It is that God spoke and we obeyed, and thus it was reachable, because with God's promise, he will always enable us to fulfill that which he's asked us to do. You say, I don't understand the Bible's teaching about raising a godly family. I don't think we have to understand everything about it. I think if we'll practice it, God will let us understand it by and by. It's a matter of trusting his word. And then I see it's because of the grace of God that was so powerful. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16 says, "Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." God said, "Noah, if you'll just trust me, I'll give you the grace that you need. I'll give you the provision that you need to fulfill this project." Now we look at Noah's day and we see the devastation of sin abounding. But in the middle of that society, we see the decisions of Noah were right decisions. They were God-honoring decisions. And it is because they were based upon the promises of God's word and upon the relationship that Noah had with God. Now, I want you to see finally this morning the destiny of the world. I want you to see how the decision of one man changed the destiny of the world in which we live. And I want you to be reminded here that every one of us have the opportunity to change the destiny of the world for others all around us. The fact of the matter is, I believe that's why God has us here. I believe he has people he still wants us to reach, influence that he still wants to use within our lives so that others might be saved. And here we see the destiny of Noah's world was changed. He was instrumental in preserving the entire human race. Now notice, if you will, first of all, in Noah's family, there was a destiny of refuge for Noah. There was a destiny of refuge for Noah. The Bible says in chapter number 7 and verse number 1, "And the Lord said unto Noah, Come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation." Now here we see in the word of God that Noah is invited into the ark. And as Noah comes into the ark, Noah was safe in the ark. The rest of the world had heard the warning. Perhaps as Noah went out preaching, they made fun of him. Wow, here comes the nut talking about, what was that called again? Rain. Here he comes again talking about the rain. And yet, as they heard the thunderclap, I believe they began to wonder, what was that Noah was talking about? What's this stuff falling on us here? Rain? Where's Noah? Where's the ark? But it was too late. Noah's family, though, was safe in the ark. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5 tells us, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart." And that's exactly what Noah had done. Noah was secure in the ark. Notice in chapter 7 and verse 16 what the Bible says. It says, "And they went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in." Here we see the Lord shutting the door. By the way, if the Lord shuts a door, only the Lord can open that door. And Noah was safe in the ark, and the door was shut by an almighty God. Now, because of that, the human race was preserved. The entire human race at that moment knew the truth about God. It's a cop-out to say that how come some people who've never heard, and so on and so forth. There have been periods of time in human history when everybody heard, and this was one of them. Now they're safely in the ark, this little human race. And what a tragic testimony to the depravity of man that a few generations after this, sin was abounding in the world again. And that's why Jesus Christ came, to die for our sin. And that brings us to the second thought, that there is a destiny of redemption through Jesus Christ. Even as the ark was the redemption for Noah's world, listen, Jesus is the redemption for our world today. Even as the ark was the only way, and there was one door, and God shut the door, so, my friends, Jesus is the only way in this hour, and Jesus is the way of salvation. And as there was one door into the ark, Jesus says in John chapter 10 and verse number 9, "I am the door."
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. If you have questions about how to enter into a relationship with Jesus, we would love to talk to you more about what it means to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. Simply call us toll-free at
201-7748. If you are interested in watching Pastor Chapel preach live during a Lancaster Baptist Church service, you can now log on to lbclive.tv Sunday mornings at 8:30 and 11, or Sunday evenings at 5 Pacific Standard Time.
Pastor Chapel is making a concerted effort to reach the world with the good news of Christ's love, but he can't do it alone. It takes a special group of Christians to stand with him each month. Daily in the Word partners, and today, it has never been easier to become one of them. When you support Daily in the Word Ministries, you're investing in the lives of men, women, and young people who will come to know Jesus Christ through the various outreaches of Daily in the Word. I challenge you to become a partner today by calling 1-800-688-6329 or by logging on to dailyintheword.org and making a donation. Your gift will be faithfully put to use as we spread the gospel around the world to this generation. We will also send you a copy of our latest magazine and a book from Dr. Chapel as a thank you for your monthly support. We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chapel has served as the pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church for nearly 30 years, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chapel's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message, connect with us, and sign up for Pastor Chapel's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at dailyintheword.org. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.